And the word woman is Elijah David, minister of 12th or 4th story Sabbatarian congregation, Mount Zion, for 12,000 Liberty Hill, Texas. Today is July 6, 2016, or it is April 3, 2020. We will start our first service today with a song entitled The Stranger of Galilee. And thus he asked by the shore one day of the beautiful mermaid sea. I saw the great crowds as they thronged the way of the stranger of Galilee. I saw the man who was blind from birth in a moment was made to see. I was made whole by the matchless hill of the stranger of Galilee. His look of compassion, his words of love, they shall never forgotten be. When sense again helpless he saw me there, the stranger of Galilee. He showed me his hand and his riven side, and he whispered, "It was for thee." The burden fell off at the pierced feet of the stranger of Galilee. And I felt I could love him forever, so gracious and tender was he. I claimed him that day as my Savior, this stranger of Galilee. I heard him speak peace to the angry waves of the turbulent raging sea. And lo, at his word, the water still, this stranger of Galilee, a peaceful, a quiet, and holy calm, now and ever, his eye abides with me. He holds my life in his mighty hand, this stranger of Galilee. Come ye who are driven in tempest tall, and his gracious salvation see. He'll quiet life's storms with his peace be still, the stranger of Galilee. He bids me to go and the story tell, what he ever to you will be. If only you let him with you abide, this stranger of Galilee. Oh, my friend, once you love him forever, so gracious and tender was he. Accept him today as your Savior, this stranger of Galilee.
Behold, I make all things new, part 13. We're going to continue on here now with our series. And we're going to take our prayer thought, though, We're reading out of White House Recruiter. We're on page 45. Our prayer thought is going to be taken from Ezra chapter 1. And it says that we're still dealing with this antipathetical Cyrus, Donald Trump. So every time I read the name Cyrus, visualize that being Donald Trump. Now in the first year of Cyrus, king of Persia, that the word of Yahweh by the mouth of Jeremiah might be fulfilled, the Yahshua stirred up the spirit of Cyrus, king of Persia, that he made a proclamation throughout all his kingdom, and put it also into writing, saying, "Thus says Cyrus, king of Persia, Yahweh Elohim of heaven hath given me all the kingdoms of the earth, and he has charged me to build him an house at Jerusalem, which is in Judea. Who is there among you of all his people? His Elohim be with him, and let him go up to Jerusalem, which is in Judah, and build the house of Yahweh Elohim of Israel. He is the Yahweh which is in Jerusalem. And whosoever remaineth in any place where he sojourneth, let the men of his place help him with silver and with gold, and with goods and with beasts, beside the freewill offering for the house of Yahweh that is in Jerusalem. Then rose up the chief of the fathers of Judah and Benjamin, and the priests and the Levites, with all them whose spirit Elohim had raised to go up to build the house of Yahweh, which is in Jerusalem." And we have this antipathetical Cyrus on the scene today. And this is what he is raised up for today, Donald Trump, is to alert the people of this nation and the world of the evil that is in charge of our government, not only the United States, but around the world. What's going on in the United States is reflected of what's going on in all nations around the world. And we know that this world cannot continue on like it is. Ezra 1:6, "And all they that were about them strengthened their hands with vessels, with gold, with goods, and with beasts, and with precious things, besides all that was willingly offered. Also Cyrus the king brought forth the vessels of the house of Yahweh, which Nebuchadnezzar had brought forth out of Jerusalem, and had put them in the house of his God. Even those did Cyrus, king of Persia, bring forth by the hand of Mithridat, the treasurer, and numbered them unto Shalbazar, the prince of Judah. And this is the number of them, thy 30 charges of gold, 1,000 charges of silver, 29 knives, 30 bases of gold, silver basins of a second sort, 410, and other vessels, 1,000. All the vessels of gold and of silver were 5,400. All these did Sheshbazar bring up with them of the captivity. They were brought from Babylon unto Jerusalem. So, apparently, the children of Israel and of Judah in these last days, when they go back to their homeland, Jerusalem, as a capital, to go back and rebuild the city, there's going to be a rebuilding of that temple and that city. But it's not the way that the Orthodox Jews over there are planning it. Well, they're saying they're going to build a temple, and they've already got their animals ready to sacrifice. Because they're a bunch of rebels. They don't believe Yahshua ever came. They don't believe in his salvation for mankind through his blood. But yet they still want to control Jerusalem and keep the Christians that the so-called Christians quote unquote out of the picture. Now let them come in there and have true worship. Well, Yahweh's going to establish true worship in Jerusalem. And he's going to do it through starting here. So actually, so when you see what's going on in the world today, we're on our way back to Jerusalem. The remnant. The remnant's on their way back to Jerusalem. And this is we're just at the very threshold. So apparently when the antitypical 70 years are up for the deliverance of antitypical Judah once again, because it says in Zechariah 14, it says Judah shall also fight at Jerusalem. Okay, so I think we would do well now at this time to read about Zechariah 14. And find out, because this is exactly what the stage is being set for right now. And as soon as the time of the 70 years is completely up for the captivity of Judah, antitypically, then you're going to see this thing take place again. You're going to see a great titanic struggle over there in the city of Jerusalem and in the cities of Samaria and Judah round about, all over the land of Israel, where those Arabs have come back into the land and infiltrated. It was allowed by the Orthodox Jews that was put in charge of well, actually, the ones that's put in charge of Jerusalem are Gentiles. Netanyahu ain't nothing but a Gentile. He come from Jewish parents, all right, Russian Jews, immigrants. But he's like Esau. Esau had a Hebrew father, but he was nothing but a Gentile. He acted like one, and he got the same blessings as a Gentile that would reject the true salvation and the ordained system of true worship. He's like Cain. Cain rejected the ordained system of true worship. Okay. Now we're going to go read now Zechariah 14. Oh, this will be the next great event to take place after our election and after this tumultuous 2016. Because 2017 is going to usher in the closing out of a 70-year period for Jerusalem's captivity to be, for Judah's captivity to be over. 1948, count the years. May the 14th, Israel got her nation back. Okay, so now. The year of 1947, the year before the Jews got their land back, got turned back over, they had the British. You had the British that was in Jerusalem occupying the city of Jerusalem. And you had, and they didn't want to let go of it. And so they worked along with the British people to figure out a way to defeat the Jews, because the mandate was that they had to have the Israel turned back over to them. The mandate was for 1948, and so in 1947 and the years preceding that, the British tried everywhere in the world to conceive a way to maintain control of Jerusalem after the Jews got their city back. And so they helped the British, and the Arabs helped the Arabs' neighbors around them. Five different nations of Arabs came against those ragtag Jews that was coming aboard. And the British were so sure that the Jews were going to be defeated that they was going to, they just maintained their offices in Jerusalem. They didn't even plan on them at all. But when they woke up May the 14th, when the Jews, and they heard over the radio that the Jews had defeated those five kings, and that they were on their way to take possession of the city, then the British got on the phone and said, get us an airplane out of here. Get us an airplane out of here. And so they went out the back door and they all headed for the airport as fast as they could go. All those British people that was going to hold on to Jerusalem. And they got out of there. They got out of there. And so today you're going to have the same thing. 2017, after the election, or after the timetable is up for Obama, because the word is that Obama is going to stay on as president, and Hillary Clinton comes into the picture real strong now, and he's invited her back, and they're campaigning now. The next 4 months, he's campaigning with Hillary Clinton, Obama, and they're back together now as friends and partners now. Well, when you go look at the prophecy where it says this woman takes her seat on the back of the beast, and Obama represents the beast, and Hillary Clinton represents this woman. So you can see why they would become bosom buddies again and came up. So here's what's going to happen. Then Donald Trump is going to fulfill prophecy. And he's going to march right into Babylon. And he's going to say, the people's choice is me, not you. And I don't care what you say, Mr. Obama. Your time is up. And a typical Belshazzar. Donald Trump doesn't know the 70-year period is up for Judah to return back to Jerusalem, take charge of Jerusalem. But it is 2017. Will definitely be the year when they are to make their way back to Jerusalem, Judah. And so I'm saying 2018 is going to be the year that Jerusalem is set free once again. According to the time and according to our 70-year periods and so forth. Okay. Type and antitype. Behold, the day of the Yeshua cometh. This is Zechariah 14, verse 1. Behold, the day of the Yeshua cometh, and thy spoil shall be divided in the midst of thee. And I will gather all nations against Jerusalem to battle, and the city shall be taken, and the houses rifled, and the women ravished, and half of the city shall go forth into captivity. And the residue of the people shall not be cut off from the city. Then shall the Yeshua go forth and fight against those nations. That's when he fought in the day of battle. And his feet shall stand in that day upon the Mount of Olives, which is before Jerusalem on the east. And the Mount of Olives shall cleave in the midst that thereof toward the east and toward the west, and there shall be a very great valley, and half of the mountain shall be moved toward the north, and half of it toward the south. And you shall flee to the valley of the mountain, for the valley of the mountain shall reach unto Azel. Yea, you shall flee like ye, as you fled from before the earthquake in the days of Uzziah, king of Judah. And Yahweh my Elohim shall come, and all the saints with thee. Now this thee is David, the house of David. This thee is the house of David. And it shall come to pass in that day that the light shall not be clear nor dark. But it shall be one day which shall be known to the Yeshua. Not day nor night. But it shall come to pass at evening time it shall be light. In other words, it's just going to be a solid light from the time it appears at the coming up of the sun in the morning, and it's just going to stay that way for a whole day. Now there's 24 hours in a day. In other words, there's not going to be no night at this particular day. Now what is this telling us? Why is it that way? Remember Joshua, when he was fighting the five kings, and because the five kings had captured these, I think, Gibeonites that Joshua had already made a covenant with, that they should be with him as his servants. And I believe the five kings heard that the Gibeonites were coming, and they was going to prevent the Gibeonites from joining Joshua. I believe that's where it was. These five kings, they come together. Well, there was five kings that come together in 1948 to keep Israel from taking possession of Jerusalem again. Okay, now Joshua's on his way to the promised land with the children of Israel. And he was met by five kings. And you know the story. I believe that's where it was. Anyway, it was a day where they were fighting, and Joshua prayed and said, "Don't let the sun go down." He said, "If the sun goes down, these kings are going to get away from us. They're going to go back and melt away in the darkness, and they're going to get away from us." And so he told Yahweh, said, "Let the sun stand still." And the sun stood still. And it stood still for about a whole day. 23 hours and I think 20 minutes. Almost a whole full 24 hours. Well, same thing here. "And it shall be in that day that living water shall go out from Jerusalem, half of them toward the former sea, and half of them toward the hinder sea, and summer and in winter shall it be." Okay. "And the Yahweh shall be king," and the Yahshua shall be the king over all the earth. "And that day shall there be one Yahshua, and his name one. All the land shall be turned as a plain from Geba to Rimmon, south of Jerusalem." Now it says that all the land shall be turned as a plain. So it looks like there's going to be some shifting of the land. Maybe an earthquake will take place and shift the land into a plain from Geba to Rimmon, south of Jerusalem, "and it shall be lifted up and inhabited in her place, from the Benjamin's gate unto the place of the first gate, unto the corner gate, and from the tower of Hananel unto the king's wine presses. And men shall dwell in it, and there shall be no more utter destruction, but Jerusalem shall be safely inhabited. And this shall be the plague wherewith Yeshua will smite all the people that have fought against Jerusalem. Their flesh shall consume away while they stand upon their feet, and their eyes shall consume away in their hold, and their tongue shall consume away in their mouth." "And it shall come to pass in that day that a great tumult from the Yahshua shall be among them, and they shall lay hold every one on the hand of his neighbor, and his hand shall rise up against the hand of his neighbor. And Judah also shall fight at Jerusalem, and the wealth of all the heathen round about shall be gathered together, gold and silver and apparel in great abundance." Okay, now what is it talking about here? These two verses 13 and 14 that I just read. And it shall come to pass, in that day, that a great tumult from the Yasser shall be among them. Who is this them? Among those Ishmaelites, Palestinians. They live and control whole towns in Samaria and Judea and all over Israel. They control whole townships. They don't, not one Jew. And if a Jew ventures over into their town, their life is not worth 2 cents in their own land. So, who the tumult's going to be among then? Yahshua's going to create a tumult among all of those Muslims. And they're gonna look at each other and say, "Hey, you're an enemy. You know." And they're gonna say, and they're gonna start killing each other. So how are you gonna clean out the Jerusalem and Israel? Yahweh's gonna call the tumult among them. He's gonna let them destroy each other. And they shall lay hold every one on the hand of his neighbor, and his hand shall rise up against the hand of his neighbor. Says every one of them. Every one of them is going to lay a hold. And Judah also shall fight at Jerusalem. So who? What is this talking about? The Arabs. They are the one that's involved in this fighting. And then it says Judah also is going to join into that fight. What fight? Of all the Arabs that are fighting against each other. So Judah is going to join in the fray. Before, I never seen this before this way. Okay. And so shall be the plague of the horse, of the mule, of the camel, and of the ass, and of all the beasts that shall be in these tents as this plague. It shall come to pass that everyone that is left of all the nations which came against Jerusalem shall even go up from year to year to worship the King, the Yahshua of the host, and to keep the Feast of Tabernacles. So apparently, once Zechariah 14 takes place, and Jerusalem is once again secured by Yahweh's remnant people, the house of David is in charge of it, then there's going to be a command that they come from year to year. Oh, how wonderful it is. And it shall be that whosoever will not come up of all the families of the earth unto Jerusalem to worship the King, the Yahshua of hosts, even upon them shall be no rain. See, not only is he going to cause a tumult to be among the Palestinians in Jerusalem and in all the land of Israel, but all of those that are outside of the land of Israel, all the millions of them that have infiltrated all these nations around the world, all the Muslims and all these nations around the world are going to lose heart when they see that their brethren no longer are abiding in the land of Israel. And that's the whole object of their fight around the world, is that they destroy all the Jews from all the nations where they're at and keep them from coming back to Jerusalem. And all the time, their own people have been purged out of Jerusalem, so they don't have the fight. So that's why it says here in verse 17, "And it shall be that whosoever will not come up of all the families of the earth unto Jerusalem to worship the King, the Yahshua of hosts." Because who do they worship? They worship Allah, Akbar. But you know what? If they don't worship Yahshua, then they're going to be, let's see what it says here. "And if the family of Egypt," and notice it said, "if the family of Egypt," which is your Muslims, that's your Arabs, "go not up and come not, that have no rain," said that there shall be the plague wherewith the Yahshua will smite the heathen. Now it's calling this family of Egypt, these Palestinians, these Arabs, these Muslims, it's calling them heathen. Well, if they're called heathen now, what were they before when they served Allah Akbar? a bunch of heathen. But that's what they're trying to force down the throats of all nations that come not to, up to keep the Feast of Tabernacles. Let's read that again. And if the family of Egypt, the Ishmaelites, the descendants of Ishmael, go not up, they don't go up and come not, that have no rain, there shall be the plague wherewith the Yahshua will smite the heathen that come not up to keep the Feast of Tabernacles. So, if they don't come up, then he's got a plague that he's going to smite them with, the family of Egypt. He's going to wipe them all, and the family of Egypt are in all nations all over the world. So guess what? When those Muslims that are in all these nations all over the world, they're only there for one reason, and that's to chase down the Jew, to try to kill him where he's at. And then they'll end up coming back to Jerusalem, but since they don't have Jerusalem to come to, because they're barred from there, they're going to go to their homeland, Egypt. Egypt's the homeland. And Egypt's in another nation, another country, Africa. But Israel is in their own country. It's not another nation. Their country was given to them by inheritance. But not Egypt. Egypt's, they're designated as their own country, but is one of the many countries, over 40 countries in Africa. Egypt is just one of many, many countries that occupies the continent of Africa. Alright. This shall be the punishment of Egypt and the punishment of all nations. Okay. That come not up to keep the Feast of Tabernacles. So it don't make no difference what religion they are. Catholic, Buddha, Hindu, Mormon. You know, it don't make any difference what sect they are. If they don't come up to keep the Feast of Tabernacles, he said that's going to be the punishment of all nations. First he started with the family of Egypt, verse 18. Of Egypt go not up and come not that have no rain, there shall be the plague wherewith the Yahshua will smite the heathen that come not up to keep the Feast of Tabernacles. This shall be the punishment of Egypt and the punishment of all nations. There you go, France. Well, what do you think is going on right now? Their sorrows are just beginning in Europe. The Euro Union is just beginning to be punished. Okay, all the nations are being punished today. But they haven't had the plague fall on them yet because we hadn't had Jerusalem yet cleaned out. In that day shall there be upon the bells of the horses, holiness unto Yahshua, and the pots in the house of Yahshua's house shall be like the bowls before the altar. Yea, every pot in Jerusalem and in Judah shall be holiness unto the Yahshua's host. And all they that sacrifice shall come and take of them. All of those that performs the ordained system of true worship shall come forth then and avail themselves of the sanctuary service that is restored back unto Jerusalem, and take of them and seed. That means they take and prepare the seed. It means to and seed therein. It don't mean to take the seed of barley or so forth and start boiling it, or the grains of cereal. I don't believe. And a new sacrifice, they just, in other words, they come and offer themselves. And Yahshua is the blood offering for them. Okay, and in that day there shall be no more of the Canaanite in the house of the Yahshua of hosts. Now this gets clearer every time we read it. Now let's go and read Ezra chapter 3. Let's continue our study with Ezra chapter 3. That was verse 1. It said, and when the seventh month was come, and the children of Israel were in their cities, the people gathered themselves together as one man to Jerusalem. Then stepped up Jeshua, the son of Josedech, and his brethren the priests, and Zerubbabel the son of Shealtiel, and his brethren, and builded the altar of the Yahweh of Israel, to offer burnt offerings thereon, as it is written in the law of Moses, the man of Yahweh. And they set the altar upon its basis, for fear was upon them because of the people of those countries. And they offered burnt offerings thereon unto the Yahweh, even burnt offerings morning and evening. There's your morning and evening sacrifice. They kept also the feast of the tabernacles, as it is written, and offered the daily burnt offerings by the number, according to the custom, as the duty of every day required. And afterwards offered the continual burnt offering, both of the new moons and of all the six feasts of the Yahweh that were consecrated, and of every one that willingly offered a freewill offering unto the Yahweh. For the first day of the seventh month began they to offer burnt offerings unto Yahweh. But the foundation of the temple of the Yahweh was not yet laid. They gave money also unto the masons and unto the carpenters, and meat and drink and oil unto them of Zidon, and unto them of Tyre, to bring cedar trees from Lebanon to the Sea of Joppa, according unto the grant that they had of Cyrus, king of Persia. Verse 8. Now in the second year of their coming into the house, unto the house of Yahweh at Jerusalem, in the second month, began Zerubbabel the son of Shealtiel, and Jeshua the son of Josedech, and the remnant of their brethren the priests and the Levites, and all they that were come out of the captivity unto Jerusalem, and appointed the Levites from 20 years old and upward, to set forward the work of the house of Yahweh. Then stood Yeshua with his sons and his brethren, Chadmiel, and his sons of the sons of Judah together, to set forward the workmen in the house of Yahweh, the sons of Henadad, with their sons and their brethren the Levites. And when the builders laid the foundation of the temple of the Yahweh, they set the priests in their apparel, with trumpets, and the Levites, the sons of Asaph, assembled to praise the Yahweh after the ordinance of David, king of Israel. And they sang together by course in praising and giving thanks unto the Yahweh, because he is good, for his mercy endureth forever, even and ever toward Israel. And all the people shouted with a great shout when they praised the Yahweh, because the foundation of the house of Yahweh was laid. Now we have a prophecy here in Amos chapter 9, and I think it talks about raising up the foundation of many generations. Let's see what we can find on that. It says, I saw the Yahweh standing upon the altar, and I saw the Yahshua standing upon the altar. This is Amos 9, verse 1. And he said, smite the lintel of the door, that the post may shake, and cut them in the head, all of them, and I will slay the last of them with the sword. He that fleeth of them shall not flee away, and he that escapeth of them shall not be delivered. Though they dig into hell, thence shall mine hand take them. Though they climb up to heaven, thence will I bring them down. And though they hide themselves in the top of Carmel, I will search and take them out thence. And though they be hid from my sight in the bottom of the sea, thence will I command the serpent, and he shall bite them. And though they go into captivity before their enemies, thence will I command the sword, and it shall slay them. And I will set mine eyes upon them for evil, and not for good. And the Yahshua, and the Yahweh Elohim of Israel is he that touches the land, and it shall melt, and all that dwell therein shall mourn, and it shall rise up wholly like a flood. and shall be drowned as by the flood of Egypt. It is he that buildeth his stories in the heavens, and hath founded his truth in the earth. He that calleth for the waters of the sea, and poureth them out upon the face of the earth. Yeshua is his name. Are ye not as the children of the Ethiopians unto me, O children of Israel, saith Yahweh? Have not I brought up Israel out of the land of Egypt, and the Philistine from Chaptor, and the Syrians from Kerr? Behold, the eyes of the Yahweh Elohim are upon the sinful kingdom, and I will destroy it from off the face of the earth, saving that I will not utterly destroy the house of Jacob, that would be the house of David, the tribe of Judah, lawgiver, said to Yahshua, for lo, I will command, and I will sift the house of Israel among all nations, like as corn is sifted in a sieve, yet shall not the least grain fall upon the earth. Why is it that Yahshua said, I will not destroy all of it off the face of the earth? Because Yahshua is occupying this part of Israel and Judah. Yahshua is occupying it. So Yahweh will not destroy something that he's given unto his son to occupy here on earth. So he says, for lo, I will command, and I will sift the house of Israel among all nations, like as corn is sifted in a sieve, yet shall not the least grain fall upon the earth. All the sinners of my people shall die by the sword, which say the evil shall not overtake nor prevent us. In that day will I raise up the tabernacle of David that is fallen, and close up the breaches thereof, and I will raise up his ruins, and I will build it as in the days of old, that they may possess the remnant of Edom. The remnant of Edom is the Adventist church. The remnant is 144,000 to start with. And of all the heathen which are called by my name, saith Yahshua, that doeth it. Behold, the days come, saith Yahshua, that the plowman shall overtake the reaper, and the treader of grapes him that soweth seed, and the mountains shall drop sweet wine, and all the hills shall melt. And I will bring again the captivity of my people Israel, and they shall build the ways, seed, and inhabit them, and they shall plant vineyards, and drink the wine thereof. They shall also make gardens and eat the fruit of them. Now you see this right here. We're making a garden. I'm making a. I'm planting a second garden for this fall. I'm going to have a better garden this time than I had in the spring. Okay, and I will plant them upon their land, and they shall no more be put out of their land which I have given unto them, saith Yahweh the Elohim. Now let's continue on reading Ezra chapter 4. Let's start with verse 1. Now when the adversaries of Judah and Benjamin heard that the children of the captivity built the temple unto the Yahweh, Elohim of Israel, then they came to Zerubbabel and to the chief of the fathers, and said unto them, let us build with you, for we see your Elohim as you do. And we do sacrifice unto him since the days of Esarhaddon, king of Ashur, which brought us up hither. So Zerubbabel and Jeshua and the rest of the chief of the fathers of Israel said unto them, you have nothing to do with us to build a house unto our Elohim, but we ourselves together will build unto the Yahweh Elohim of Israel, as King Cyrus, the king of Persia, has commanded us. Then the people of, and keep this in mind now, every time we read Cyrus, we're talking about antithetical Cyrus today, Donald Trump. But Zerubbabel and Yahshua and the rest of the chief of the fathers of Israel said unto them, ye have nothing to do with us to build a house unto our Elohim, but we ourselves together will build unto the Yahweh Elohim of Israel, as King Cyrus, the king of Persia, has commanded us. So now Donald Trump is going to take over, and he's going to command the people of Judah. He's going to command the people of Judah to go back and build that house at Jerusalem. He's going to command it. And that's right here on us, folks. I'll be staying busy night and day uncovering new evidence and reporting. I'm probably going to be doing more taping every day, probably several a day, three or four maybe even, at least two, and revealing all this latest information, because we've got a lot of breaking information for this next 2 years of 17 and 18. Okay, it says, Ezra 4:4, then the people of the land weakened the hands of the people of Judah and troubled them in building. Alright, now where's that translated in today? Donald Trump is giving the order, he's announced himself. And when he gives the order for Judah to go back, he's going to furnish the finances. All the people that are qualified to go back are probably going to need some help financially. Well, Yahweh has to put that in prophecy. Donald Trump will provide the finances. All they've got to do is just organize and get back and start doing it. And not only that, but he'll supervise the building of it. Donald Trump says, you know, remember, I'm a builder, he says. Remember, I'm a real estate man. Remember, he says, I know how to raise up tall buildings. I know how to, I've raised them up in New York. I know how to put up tall buildings. Okay, Ezra 4:5. And hired counselors against them to frustrate their purpose all the days of Cyrus, king of Persia, even until the reign of Darius, king of Persia. So, Donald Trump is going to orchestrate the rebuilding of Jerusalem according to this type here, and he's going to be harassed, and it's like they're frustrating him right now in his campaign to become president of the United States. They have come out in full force from all angles with every kind of derogatory and evil thing that they can think of, and people that are spending millions of dollars on strategizing against Donald Trump becoming this president. So he says, and in the reign of Ahasuerus, in the beginning of his reign, wrote they unto him an accusation against the inhabitants of Judah and Jerusalem. You know who Ahasuerus was? He was Xerxes. He was the one that, he had Haman. It was a Muslim Arab chief of staff there in the kingdom. Anyway, let's go ahead. Ezra 4:7. And in the days of Artaxerxes, ruled Bishlam, Mitredat, Tabeel, and the rest of their companions under Artaxerxes, king of Persia, and the writing of the letter was written in the Syrian tongue and interpreted in the Syrian tongue. Okay. Rehum, the chancellor, and Shemeshiah, the scribe, wrote a letter against Jerusalem to Artaxerxes the king in this sort. Then wrote Rehum, the chancellor of Shemeshiah, the scribe, and the rest of their companions, the Dinanites, and the Ashur-Sakwatites, and the Tarpelites, and the Ephesites, and the Archivites, and the Babylonians, and the Susanites, and the Dehavites, and the Elamites, and the rest of the nations whom the great and noble Asnapper brought over and set in the cities of Samaria, and the rest that are on this side of the river and at such a time. This is a copy of the letter that they sent unto him, even unto Artaxerxes the king, thy servants of men on this side of the river and at such a time. Be it known unto the king that the Jews which came up from thee to us are come unto Jerusalem, building the rebellious and bad city. Now here's what the enemies of Jerusalem calls Jerusalem, calls it a bad city, and have set up the walls thereof, and joined the foundations. they have set up the walls of this bad city. And you had a Gentile, heathen, barbarian king of the Persians that financed all of that. And it gave direction of how to do it, and those that needed help. Be it known now unto the king that if this city be builded, and the walls set up again, then they will not pay toll, tribute, and person, and so thou shalt and damage the revenue of the king. Now because we have maintenance from the king's palace, and it was not meet for us to see the king's dishonor, therefore have we sent and certified the king. As search may be made in the book of the records of thy father, so shalt thou find the book of the record, and know that this city is a rebellious city, and hurtful unto kings and provinces, and that they have moved sedition within the same of old time, for which cause was this city destroyed. Now here's the enemy making false accusations, telling lies. What do you think they won't do that today? Yes, they're doing it right now. Ezra 4:16, we certify the king that if this city be built again, and the walls thereof set up by this means, thou shalt have no portion on this side of the river. Then said the king in answer unto Rehum the chancellor and the Shemeshai, the scribe, and to the rest of their companions that dwell in Samaria, and unto the rest beyond the river, peace, and of such a time. The letter which you sent unto us has been plainly read before me. And I commanded, and search has been made, and it is found that this city of old time hath made insurrection against kings, and that rebellion and sedition have been made therein. There have been mighty kings also over Jerusalem, which have ruled over all countries beyond the river. David was one of them. King Solomon was one of them. And toll, tribute, and custom was paid unto them. Give you now commandment to cause these men to cease, and that this city be not builded until another commandment shall be given from me. Take heed now that they, as you fail not to do this, why should damage grow to the hurt of the kings? Now when the copy of King Artaxerxes' letter was read before Rehum, Shemeshai the scribe, and their companion, they went up in haste to Jerusalem and to the Jews and made them to cease by force and power. So apparently, there's going to be a repeat of this. Then ceased the work of the house of Yahweh, which is at Jerusalem. So it ceased until the second year of the reign of Darius, king of Persia. So, apparently Donald Trump is going to get in there. He's going to accomplish the work that he's supposed to do in the Antichrist. And then he's going to have a successor. Now, probably this successor is going to be the next president of the United States. And he's going to be elected to take Donald Trump's place. Let's go to Ezra chapter 5. It says, then the prophets Haggai the prophet and Zechariah the son of Iddo prophesied unto the Jews that were in Judah and Jerusalem in the name of the Yahweh of Israel, even unto them. Then rose up Zerubbabel the son of Shealtiel and Jeshua the son of Josedech and began to build the house of the Yahweh. Okay, which is at Jerusalem, and with them were the prophets of Yahweh helping them. Now, who is this Haggai and Zechariah today? Who would that be in prophecy? Would that be your two witnesses? There is in Revelation 11 that his dead body was seen in the street for 3.5 years, and they rose upon their feet, and great fear fell upon them. Would that be possible? Okay. Then rose at the roll of the son of Shealtiel and Joshua the son of Dra- began to build the house of Yahweh. Well, that place is in deplorable condition over there today, Jerusalem is. And so when the house starts to build, they're going to have a prophecy, or they're going to have the whole world against them when they're going to start rebuilding that place. They're going to have the whole world against them. But you're going to have the two witnesses rise up. And don't be surprised if these two witnesses don't be in the form also of two people. And don't be surprised if their antitypical names won't be Haggai and Zechariah. Won't be surprised. Okay, because the people rose up even against the king's decree, the cease and desist, and don't you lay another stone until you hear from me. But they heard from Zechariah and Haggai, and boy, they got up, and it says, then rose up the robe of the king of Shealtiel and Joshua the son of Joseph, and began to build the house of Yahweh, which is at Jerusalem. And with them were the prophets of Elohim helping them. And with them were the prophets of Israel, of Yahweh helping them. So who do you think these prophets are? It says 144,000 of prophets, priests, and kings when they come forth, the first fruit. They're prophets, priests, and kings. And they're the only ones that are going to be allowed to be in Jerusalem at this time. If they're sanctified. There's going to be no unsanctified people there. Ezra 5:3. And at the same time came to them Tapnea, governor on this side of the river, and Shethar-Bozneah and their companions, and said thus unto them, who has commanded you to build this house and to make up this wall? Then said they unto him after this manner, what are the names of the men that make this building? But the Elohim was upon the elders of the Jews, that they could not cause them to cease till the matter came to Darius. And then they returned answered by letter concerning this matter. A copy of the letter that Tapnea, governor on this side of the river, and Shethar-Bozneah and his companions, the Ephrathites, which were on this side of the river, sent unto Darius the king. They sent a letter unto him wherein was written thus, unto Darius the king, all peace. Be it known unto the king that we went into the province of Judea, unto the house of the great Elohim, which is builded with great stones and timber, and is laid in the wall. And this work goeth fast on, and prosperous in their hands. Then asked we those elders, and said unto them thus, who command you to build this house and to make up these walls? We ask their names also to certify thee, that we might write the names of the men that were the chief of them. And thus they returned us answer, saying, we are the servants of the Elohim of heaven and earth, and build the house that was builded these many years ago, which a great king of Israel builded and set up. Now who is that great king of Israel? That was to David and Solomon. It was actually Solomon they were talking about here, the son of David. But after that our fathers had provoked the Elohim of heaven unto wrath, he gave them into the hand of Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, the Chaldean, who destroyed this house and carried the people away into Babylon. But in the first year Cyrus, the king of Babylon, that same king Cyrus, made a decree to build this house of Yahweh. Now keep in mind, Donald Trump is going to give us antitypical Cyrus, going to give another decree. He's going to give an antitypical decree to build this house of Yahweh, and the vessels also of Elohim and silver of the house of Elohim, which Nebuchadnezzar took out of the temple that was in Jerusalem, and brought them into the temple of Babylon. Those did Cyrus the king take out of the temple of Babylon, and they were delivered unto one whose name was Sheshbazzar, whom he had made governor, and said unto him, take these vessels, go carry them into the temple that is in Jerusalem, let the house of Elohim be builded in his place. Then came the same Shethar-Bozneah and laid the foundation of the house of Elohim, which is in Jerusalem. And since that time, even until now, hath it been in building, and yet it is not finished. Now therefore, if it seem good to the king, let there be search made in the king's treasure house, which is there at Babylon, whether it be so, that a decree is made of Cyrus the king to build this house of Yahweh at Jerusalem, and let the king set his treasure to us concerning this matter. Okay, so they're going to go back and see if Cyrus did make that decree. And so that ends Ezra chapter 5. And we don't have time for Ezra chapter 6. We're going to reserve that for our next study. It's been the third best of this hour. Contact us at 11th hour. Call us number 11. Click on our audio archive. We're going to close now with a song. In the Earth Bed Cave by Elijah Davis. In the earth bed new, where the sky is blue and the clouds are silver light. But people speak and spoken to that ill Lord is not to find. What they do, what they say, how they comprehend. But how they greet each other, all the looking for the very earth to me. For the skies are blue, and the earth is blue, and the skies are blue. I can hardly bear to hear the wind and take my place if the skies are golden gray. Tell me that it is the land of the free and the friend. For everything is a true delight on the heart to sing. To the earth made me, where the skies are blue. Where you have the holy city on the top of the dying hill. And the only ones that enter in are the ones who do his will. Tell me that it is a land where the freedom bells ring, and everything is a heart's delight, or is the heart to sing when the earth made me, when the skies are blue.